Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hey there.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about choosing a real estate specialization. So, seems kind of basic, but man, it's important. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Joshua asks, in the education program, Jack recommends including agricultural land data in our search criteria. I had decided on a county to send my first mailer to, but I've noticed that the majority of the parcels listed had the land use description of agricultural NEC. Would this be a red flag for targeting this county, or could I be looking at this differently? In theory, I thought having the major percentage of my list focused on residential or recreational would be best. Thanks for any insight.
NEC, as I understand it, and I don't know the exact acronym, I'll look it up during the show and try to find out exactly what it stands for, but what it generally means is not categorized. That's part not is the N and C is categorized, I think. So, and I'll make absolutely sure. No existing category. So it means that the assessor thinks it's agricultural, but it's NEC. Mm-hmm. Or they think it's industrial, but it's NEC. So that's your assessor at work, by the way. Taxes.
Would this be a red flag? Oh, gosh.
No, directly answer your question, I love NEC property because the assessor doesn't really know. I'll figure it out. We're going to let the guy who owns it and me, the buyer, we're going to put a price on it real quick.
Right.
So keep that in. Absolutely.
Totally.
The only reason that to directly answer your question again, the only reason I would remove agriculture is if you're working in a very farming intensive county, where farmland is a commodity that's usually priced per acre. If you walk into a bar or a coffee shop somewhere in Kansas and you say, "Hey, what's the price of an acre go for these days?" Everybody will jump right up and say, and they'll be pretty close about it because their answer is going to be very consistent. Oh, it goes for about $8,000 an acre, $3,000 an acre, $3,250. So if you're working those areas, you want to price your mailer the way that we price houses. You know, you want to come in under that number, decide what it is, and come in 60, 70% under that number.
And traditionally, what you're saying too is farmland is much higher than just out there, rural, residential,
desert land. Yeah.
That's the whole point
and
here.
And it's priced much lower, much, much lower than property that's about to be developed, mm-hmm. Developer property for subdivisions.
Exactly.
That's why there's so much, that variance, by the way, this is a topic for a whole show. All of us have seen, driven down a street, and then 2 months later, you drive down it, and you're like, there used to be a farm there. And now there's putting roads in a strip mall or something.
Exactly.
So that's why we're here, by the way. That person, whoever's doing that development, they're creating equity.
Yeah.
That's the takeaway from this question. But whatever you do, you want to create equity. You don't want to just, make property move around, if you know what I mean.
Right.
If you have a question or you want to be in the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, choosing a real estate specialization. This is the meat of the show. What are your thoughts, Jill?
You know what? I have two, for me, there's two ways to go with this. One is there something that you already know a lot about? Okay, so real estate, let me go back for a minute. So real estate specialization, of course, is what do I want to be? Do I want to focus on farmland? Do I want to focus on vacation properties? Do I want to focus on commercial properties? You know, what's going to be my, do I want to do apartment buildings? What's going to be my specialization? And so I have a lot of people that come to us and they're like wide-eyed, you know, and they're like, I don't know where to start. So one thing that I suggest is, Well, is there something that you already know something about? Do you have the inside track to something? We have many people in our group that come to us from some real estate niche or something they've known about, or maybe they've even worked for a county.
Jill, this is brilliant.
Thank you.
I have to tell you, because this is not what I was going to talk about at all.
Okay.
And I'm learning stuff here.
Oh, so thank you.
This is a brilliant insight on this.
Thank you. So yeah, we have a lot of people that already have a lot of information at their fingertips that not everyone does. And they have experience in these areas that they didn't even realize it would be useful now. You know, like there's people in our group that have worked at the counties and dealt with subdividing property. And they don't even realize, oh my goodness, I have all this knowledge at my fingertips now. I know how to do this better than anybody and faster, and who to call to get this done for myself. Ta-da, that's probably what I should do. And bingo, the answer is yes. So that's one way to really think about and choose a specialization. Another way is start easy. You know, I tell people, let's just start with the basics. Let's start with just flipping some land. Let's start with rural vacant, you know, like vacation or residential or something property, and be really open and let your specialization find you, because that happens. We have some gentlemen in our group that their specialization became kind of, they were the only ones that could figure out how to do certain deeds in certain situations where people passed on. And they became the experts in XYZ County of how to do these transactions.
Yeah, it's the technical term is called adverse possession.
Right.
And what you're doing is really solving someone's problem.
Right. And they picked up on all these properties that no one else would touch, valuable properties, because no one could figure it out. And everybody would just move on. So it wasn't even their property specialization. It was more of a transaction specialization. And it just came to them, you know. And they were happily off and running, and that's their thing. So those are my two ways that I suggest. What else do you have, Jack?
Well, you know, let's look at us. I'm in the specialization now because I was just sick and tired and half dead doing large commercial real estate deals that are, you know, rooted in healthcare. So I had to get approval from the federal government, the state government. It took a year to do a deal. The payout was pretty good. You know, it was a 6-digit payout, but that's just not for me. I would rather just turn and burn and turn and burn properties and do it in a way that is in a data-driven way. Mm-hmm. We're all about data here. You know, all the companies that Jill and I have and all the group of people that we have all one thing in common. We all love data, and we all love manipulating data. Every once in a while, there's people that come to our group who don't start with data. They start with, I don't know, maybe they're interior decorators or something. That's not what this is about. I don't care about any of that at all. In fact, the only one who's close to that maybe is Jill. And thank God, by the way.
I like that stuff.
We're not about renovating houses like on HGTV. No. We're about hardcore.
I would if it would made a lot of money,
so
but it seriously doesn't.
So would I. We're about hardcore data manipulation, getting offers in the mail, and buying undervalued property, real estate of all types, and then wholesaling out to somebody who already said, yeah, if you can find a property for $110 a square foot in that zip code, I will buy as many as you can get. Mm-hmm. That's what we're all about here. That's our specialization. And it's like, you know, quite frankly, it's like we're printing money.
Do you know what my personal specialization is?
I do.
Here's my personal specialization and why I'm involved in all of this. I personally want to make a lot of money on property I don't have to visit.
Yeah. You mean you just want to sit at your desk?
Totally.
That's what I want.
And it could be, I don't know, it could be in another country. It could be on a boat. It could be on the beach. It doesn't really matter. I can be anywhere I want, review property, not have to do anything, call anybody, you know, and buy it and sell it.
All right, good. I'm glad this went in this direction. So
okay.
We can rename this show right now.
Well,
real estate, what motivates you to be a real estate investor?
Really?
Because it's the same thing. Because if you can answer that question, that's your real estate specialization.
Oh.
So Jill just reverse answered it perfectly. She doesn't want to go visit the property. She doesn't want to drive for dollars.
Bingo.
She wants to flip a piece of dirt by talking on the phone.
Yep.
because she's super good at it, make a good living at it, and then be on her way.
Yeah.
So I want some version. That's the end result that I would like, although I'll leave the talking on the phone part to Jill. I want to really take a week and manipulate data, beautifully selected data, and sit, you know, in a dark room in front of the computer and make sure that the data's perfect, the letters go out, and I can, and then predict. Here's what it is for me. I want to remove all the risk so that if I know when someone calls us back on, a, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 letters that we send out, if 10 or 15 people call us back and two or three properties get purchased or more, usually it's more for us at this point because we do spend so much time sending out perfect offer campaigns, that we're going to make some money. Mm-hmm. That's what this is about. That's what motivates me.
Yep. I love it.
Talking to people doesn't motivate me. Choosing wallpaper, oh my God, no.
Right.
And if I have to go look at it, I'm not opposed to that. Quite frankly, I love going to look at real estate. We don't do it as much anymore because we don't need to. But it's the data piece. I'll tell you what I don't want. You know what? Let's do that.
Okay, I'm ready. Go.
You go first.
Oh, what I don't.
What don't you want? We already have the go visit it thing.
I was thinking of a I don't want to pick something, or I don't want someone to pick something because I think it's the coolest. Like, I mean, come on. Like doing a big mansion flip just to say that I did it.
Oh, because it's sexy.
Yeah. I don't want to say, hey, that $5 million property over there, hey, bought it for $5 million, sold it for $4 million. That was me. You know what I mean?
God, I look good to losing $1 million.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah, like I'm going to brag, like, because I could just throw that much money around. That's not what I want to do. Seriously.
I agree.
And people are out there doing it. So, and they're kind of bragging, eh, well, you lose $1 million here, you make $2 million there, whatever. I'm like, that's not what I want to do.
No.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what
I mean,
do you not want to do?
What I don't want to do is I want all the stuff on HGTV.
Oh.
I don't want any part of that. Here's a list of stuff that I don't, that I refuse to do in a real estate transaction because we can at this point. We can easily afford to. And this happens all the time. If I need the approval of anyone to do a real estate deal, and here's an example, a lender, a business partner, a real estate agent, if anyone is going to say yes or no to a real estate deal, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm past it. You know, I guess I got stung too many times a lot of years ago in healthcare, just waiting for people to make a decision. Here's what else I'm not going to do under any circumstance: represent somebody else in their real estate deal. And that's exactly what a real estate agent does. That's what they do for a living. That's the definition of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They represent a buyer or they represent a seller in buying and selling a house or an office building. You want to talk about a mess.
Well, doesn't that tie back into you just having control? Is
yeah.
that really it? You don't want to answer anybody
exactly.
else, which is really how you roll in life. But that's a whole other show. I've heard the way you drive going, I am not going to answer to anybody else on this
it's not that
intersection.
Bad. I'll tell you, between the two of us, I know who's crazier driver than me.
Actually, I did that the other day. I was with kid number 3 and he said something. He's like, what? No, you turn. I said, number one, read the times. It was like 7 to 9 a.m. We were clearly out of it. And I said, and B, we're exempt. And he's like, what? So it was funny. So yeah, you're right.
If you ask a real estate agent, a lot of real estate agents, when they try to justify what they do, they say something like this: if I wasn't involved in this transaction, those two people, the buyer and seller, they'd have never gotten this deal done. And you know what my answer is? Then it shouldn't have gotten done.
Yeah.
If the buyer and seller are all angry with each other about anything, or if the water heater's a problem, or is there some, then that's not the right deal for them. So there's no way to justify. If I sound angry about this, it's because I am.
Have you heard realtors say that?
Oh my God, yes.
I would love a real. But we know do we think it's true or think it's not true? Like if I had a realtor come to me and say that and say, you know what, this deal would not have got done anymore for me, I'd be like, really? So I feel bad, but I don't know a lot that push transactions through.
I feel exactly the opposite of bad.
Really?
I feel great about all of this because, it's not silly.
I know. I don't want to bash on them. But I'm just saying.
I do.
Okay. I know. All right. So I got it. So you pick the property. Your specialization is having control, and because you just went for the with, well, you know what? Okay, so I want to ask this question, please, sure. Jack. So when you set out, because you came from your background doing the toughest type of transactions, did you specifically seek out the easiest?
Yes.
Number one, okay. And then what made you not veer from that?
Well, I was grossly, ridiculously successful from transaction one.
Ah.
And then what, and then it just became one thing after another in a positive way, where I was buying property on the internet. This is the first inning of the ball game back then about buying and selling real estate on the internet. So the light went out, light bulb went off over my head multiple times until we landed on doing mailers, which is what we've done now for decades. But the ease of a transaction, the fact that you can buy a piece of real estate on the internet the same way that you can buy a vacuum cleaner, just there's like 19 things that are just sing to me that and all through the years have sung to me. But the most important of which is the availability of data and then manipulating it, which is just, that was icing on the cake for me. That's when we really started doing thousands and thousands of deals.
Right.
Finding a buyer, finding a seller, all that stuff's really easy.
Exactly. That stuff's not a big deal. It's really, you're right, having the data and knowing what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And your whole concept. I know you're right. I want to back up and just give a little background real quick here. For people who don't know, Jack perfected his way of buying nursing homes by sending out faxes back then, thousands of faxes to, was it brokers and realtors?
It was actually the fax number to the facility.
Okay.
And it was a closed market. So there are, I don't know, 12 to 15,000 licensed nursing homes in the country. Okay. Not assisted living buildings. These are nursing homes, post-acute care. They're called different stuff throughout the country. But so it was a finite database. And I literally input, this is way back in the day, created a database, and then they got a fax from me every month or so.
And it worked.
Oh my gosh, it worked.
And then it transferred it to this, and here we are today.
A bunch of stuff happened in between. Some of it's great, some of it's not. But in the end, what it became, Jill, and thank you for clarifying all that, is there's a finite database of 150 million properties in this country. And while it sounds like a daunting task, it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, 15,000 nursing homes to 150 million pieces of property, 150 million APNs, assessor parcel numbers. It's not that many. A lot of them fall right off. A tremendous number fall right out based on certain criteria. So, and they should all get letters, and they all will eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I'm glad you asked that.
Thank you.
What really sings to you about this whole thing? Is it? I mean, you told us about
why I chose
not
this
being inconvenienced by going to look at real exactly. estate, which I completely agree with. It's totally inefficient.
You want me to do what? I have to be where when? Oh no! That's not how I roll. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, I gotta be honest because so much of my life is not about money. Seriously, I'm not about.
That's why you have me.
That's true. I'm not about maximizing revenue here or that slash. However, I have found our product type seems to have the highest return on investment. So that's why I am sitting here right now. Least amount of output, highest amount of money back. So that's it. And I don't care that it's not cool for, I don't care that there's not any, or probably ever will be, an HGV, GG, flipping that dirt. I don't see that. I don't see a.
Can you imagine?
Flip or flop your farm property. I don't see that. Like, oh, they put in new sprinklers. Aren't they pretty, babe? Oh my gosh.
How would you do a show?
You're
right. How would you do an HGTV show?
Couldn't that be hilarious? Oh, babe, look at this. We took different pictures with different lighting, and doesn't it look great now? No, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to go plant things and put a fence up and then say, that's my renovation.
Here's the whole show. Here's the HGTV land flipping show.
Oh,
it's called
no.
The Jack and Jill Land Flipping Show, and this is what would happen.
Okay.
It would be a shot of you and me standing next to each other, like that pitchfork picture.
Yes, exactly.
And then they would cut to a picture of a piece of dirt that says purchased for $32,000 and sold for $61,000. And then the show would be over.
That's it.
And it would be both of us high-fiving each other.
That's right.
Cut to the next scene. Purchased for $22,000, sold for $38,000.
We high five.
High five. Cut to the next scene. And then it would get canceled.
That's right. It'd be boring really fast.
And right at the end of the episode, it would be, we made $142,000 this month flipping land.
Oh, wait. I have a way to make it more exciting.
Okay, go ahead.
Imagine this. We preface cutting to seeing you in your office for 2 days manipulating data. That's it. Because that's how we got there.
Called the guy. The guy needs a shave.
Oh, my gosh. Babe, you got to see this. He's still sitting here. Yep. It's a time-lapse camera. He's still sitting there.
Right. Yeah. It's a good thing you can't smell
his
office.
Someone just brought him food, and then they left. He's still sitting there. And then I don't know what happened, but the offers went out, and now people are sending back stuff. I don't get it.
There could be like a phone bank, like on a public radio station, where all the people are calling. Some of them are yelling.
Yeah.
Some of them are happy.
Yeah. Like, this is stupid.
This is stupid. That's a show.
This is stupid. How to make millions on land.
The stupid way.
That's right.
If you have a question or you want to, join us in another episode where we discuss how to, join us in another episode where we discuss how to buy your next house for half price.
Oh, and then we answer Shamgott's question about extremely low assessed value. This ought to be good.
You're not alone in your real estate ambition. You know, Jill.
Tell me.
It's no wonder that we made a successful podcast out of such a boring topic. I mean, I'm trying to pat myself on the back right now.
You know what? You're right. We might be able to carry a show for at least 5 or 10 minutes.
Maybe just a pilot.
This is true.
Maybe we could just do a documentary.
That might work.
Like a 1-hour documentary about how to flip land in the 21st century.
What would we put interesting in there?
I don't know. That's the thing. Because you don't want to do a whole series on it, because it's just not. Once you get past the fact that you can make a bunch of money on it, which our members already know.
Mm-hmm. They like move on.
Yeah. Then they just repeat it and hire somebody to do it.
Exactly. Hey, like our show? Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you are listening.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.